Welcome to LimeWolf's Behind the Green podcast, where we get the inside scoop on all things sustainability and talk to people prioritizing and building a greener tomorrow. I'm your host, Rebecca Smith, and today I'm joined by Ashley Etling, CEO and co-founder of LimeWolf. Ashley is inspired by collaboration and discovery and driven by the confluence of design thinking, business, and technology. This continued curiosity has led to her founding and building multiple companies from the ground up. Central to Ashley's vision is the desire to create impact by building sustainable supply chains from product to door, as well as creating a culturally sound company. LimeWolf came to be from solving a problem for herself, really, when trying to ship products to other coworkers and really wanting to find a more sustainable option that just did not exist. Outside of the LimeWolf HQ, Ashley likes testing recipes, working with other ambitious founders, sharing knowledge, and especially spending time outdoors with friends and family hiking, skiing, and biking. Ashley and I dig into challenges in the sustainability space, and we take it a step further to getting a little more detailed around the ins and outs of what being a sustainable company really means. The high-level overview is that when you take sustainability out of the pitch and really focus on the double bottom line instead, that's where you'll find where sustainability and circularity in businesses really thrive. So what does that really mean? Let's dive right in.
Hey, Ashley, thanks so much for joining us today. If you could really quickly give a quick intro of yourself, that would be great.
Hey, I'm Ashley Etling, the CEO and co-founder of LimeWolf. So Rebecca, so great to be on the other side, and thank you so much for having me. Awesome. Just a little bit on my background, I've been working on supply chain for most of my career, been doing that in high school and building supply chain companies, moved to the Bay Area late after college, and really just took supply chain, married that with technology, and just became a sponge and built a company around enterprise software, which was really helping on the front end of supply chain to really bring designs to life. And in that, really started seeing a lot of those problems as e-commerce was growing. One of those, of course, being packaging, which really led to what we're building today, which is really helping with supply chain.
Awesome. Yeah. And for those that don't know too, we all at LimeWolf, we all have our own sustainability goals. And Ashley, yours this year even has to do with packaging too. You want to give us a little insight on just what your goal is around that this year?
Sure. Yeah. Last year, I actually started with reusable coffee. I went in with this goal of, okay, I'm going to 100% not use a single-use coffee cup at the coffee shop. And Chantal Emmanuel, my co-founder, kind of, she backed up and said, well, how about we start with like 80%? I think she didn't want to be that person on a road trip with me during business and didn't get that morning coffee. But it definitely went from like using one single-use coffee cup each month, and then really trying to push a bigger goal this year. And I think that really came from doing a house remodel the last couple of years and having so much packaging come to the house and really wanting to focus and work on how do I really put, you know, my choices behind the companies who are actually choosing more sustainable packaging. So really focused on that this year of really reducing it. One thing I've started with it just even how I have groceries delivered to the house and thinking about that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all the time have packages constantly arriving because it's like click of a button, right? And anything shows up. And so that's like, you have to be very, very conscious about like what purchases and stuff you're making. So it definitely makes you sit back and think, do I need this? Can I get this here? So excited to see where that goes this year for you.
Yeah, me too. I think just in the early stages, it's reminded me of how much convenience makes such a big difference and why it is that click, which is like, oh, I just need some tape. Great. I'll click a button. And now we have more packaging at the house. So yeah, excited to see it unfold throughout the year.
Yeah, totally. I also, for those also that don't know, Ashley likes to ride her bike quite often. That's like your favorite mode of transportation, that and walking. And I'm also envisioning you like with this big, massive something on your bike pedaling down the street. I'm like, I don't think you should do that.
I've been known to do it, especially world travel. My brother probably won't travel with me again, but the last trip we did, he had two large rugs and usually baskets in their hands.
Oh, it's a sight. That is a sight for sure. Okay. You started telling us a little bit, just like in your background, just of how you got into the packaging space, but can you give a little overview too of LimeWolf and really the inspiration for where that came from, just a little more in detail?
Yeah, it's more of, I would say, personal and professional. I am personally just frustrated with packaging at the house and walking around the neighborhoods and seeing it just overflowing. And then really started to see, living in San Francisco, friends almost dedicating parts of their room or closets to just being able to throw packages in there. And then with that being in supply chain, hearing a lot of retailers talk about the future of e-commerce, where it's going, and topple on that too. Professionally, we were shipping a lot internally. So I was looking for a reusable package. This was about 10 years ago. And so just ended up making a reusable package at that time that we could use internally and make multiple ones. So ironically came across that a couple of years ago while I'm packing a box. And that really led to this idea of, like, how could we not only use more sustainable packaging, but with a background in technology and a deep relationship with Chantal in technology, my co-founder, really started looking at, well, if we could use this package over and over again, we could also solve other problems in supply chain, which is answering this question we hear all the time, which is, where is my package? And that goes deep rooted beyond just consumers asking that question, but retailers and carriers and also 3PLs within the supply chain system. So it became pretty exciting. And I think what we love too is, like, we had finally come to a business that our parents understood, which was also a light bulb moment that this touches everyone. And it's something that is very impactful and will continue to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I will love when we, every single retailer out there uses reusable packaging, because even right now I'm in the process of, I've ordered these pajama pants that are, like, breathable for summer, and I can't find my package. They're like, oh, we delivered it at this garage. And I'm like, well, I live in a condo building. I don't really have a garage for you to deliver it at. And they're like, oh, well, I guess you have to go through USPS and find it. And I'm like, well, that doesn't help me at all. So I can't wait for this, where is my package, for every retailer to have this, because it'll make our lives as consumers easier also.
Yeah. So. And I mean, those stories are always there. We joke sometimes we're almost like packaging therapists. Everyone has a story daily of that. I even have our own this weekend. Our neighbor's 80 pounds of birdseed was delivered to my front door. And so it was not only where is my package, but how am I going to get my package now to my home? Sort of a problem. So
yeah. Yeah. That's also random. 80 pounds of birdseed. Must have, I mean, I hear it all the time. If someone calls with you, the birds in the back. Around. So I'm sure they love it. This is why you have all those birds in your background.
We officially discovered it.
Oh, that's so funny. Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that you've encountered, like, along the way, starting this new company, starting this vision into reusable packaging and making that switch from single use.
Sure. I mean, anything new, anything innovative is change. And with this change within supply chain, as I mentioned before, there are a lot of stakeholders. So that's not only a change for us as customers, but retailers, carriers who move a lot of these products, and then a lot of the folks who store it and move those products around. But with that comes change that is delightful, because it does touch everyone and everyone recognizes the problem. So with that, there are, you know, a lot of great solutions. And then I'd say, you know, with circular economy, what we're all running into in this space is reverse logistics. And it continues to not only be a challenge, but a part of our future, which brings a lot of opportunity. And it so happened just to love tech and what we have found with layers of technology that really will continue to optimize not only how we run reverse logistics and the operations of it, but who we work with. There's not only the traditional folks who make this whole space work, but also really cool, exciting companies that are popping up in the space that technology allows us to really be able to optimize and really collaborate together that can really add to a lot of those challenges that we're seeing in supply chain today.
Yeah, definitely. We, I mean, anybody out there, really all of us, we hear the word change and we get a little freaked out maybe, right? Because sometimes change can be really scary. And so having that, like, ability to be able to say, okay, this is something that this is a problem everybody experiences, but some of us kind of sit here and say, well, maybe this is how it's, like, we should just keep it this way because we're used to it. And we know how this problem, and we know how to solve for this problem, solve, I'm in quotes. Mm-hmm. But really it's like, if we can provide them something that is change for the positive is going to make their lives easier, then we can really like flip that change narrative on its head. And so I think that's really good to highlight here and like really remind people that change doesn't have to be scary as long as like we're really putting like our one foot in front of the other and we're thinking about like what that really looks like and mm-hmm. how we can make a difference with it. So
yeah, I agree. And then that goes back to all those stakeholders and really understanding each one mm-hmm. of them. And the more you can empathize and understand their day to day, and that's where that change becomes a lot more exciting and mm-hmm. can really heighten that day to day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In these conversations that you have with stakeholders, like how do you really envision the role of reusable packaging, like with these different groups, and how can we really think about reusable packaging in the broader context of a circular economy and getting to these sustainable business practices? Because obviously stakeholders and organizations in different brands, they're going to have different concerns. They're going to have different priorities. So how do we take reusable packaging and really make it cohesive for them all?
Yeah, I mean, going back, I'd say when we first started the company, people would tell us, oh, this is so simple. Why hasn't anyone else done this yet? This is just switching a single use to a reusable. And as you get deeper into it, you understand that by changing single use to reuse, you're shifting a whole supply chain. So with that, there are a lot of opportunities that come with that. For example, you know, with shifting it, we're also looking at reverse logistics. So that plays a very large role in how we actually look at that circular economy and can have a lot of positive double bottom line value. When you're talking about change, we're also talking about that change can be really positive because within this system, you can also work in a way to where it actually decreases the amount of time you're opening and closing a package or having to run it out to the recycling bin. Another, you know, really game changer we're starting to see is production, where we produce the materials that we use and that having a larger impact on supply chain in general. And then also just technology. I mean, especially around the future of deliveries that will continue to change, especially with the hot topic of AI. You know, we've talked a lot about robotics and drones and how that will shape the future. And with AI, that will continue to really accelerate how we even look at deliveries in general and what that reverse logistics role actually plays. And that's why we, you know, continue to be excited about how technology is really a large part of supply chain and even as simple as a box and how we can reuse that and really play a larger role to really not only help circular economy for packaging and but also in that greater look of supply chain, how we utilize that technology to help with reusables in the food environment and really being able to think about just the simple three R's we talk about and getting back to those, back to reuse and then recycling.
Yeah, I want to jump back to something that you said somewhat early on in this, is that the time that it takes to break a box down, we don't really think about that as being like, anybody listening right now, if you were to think about the amount of time it takes to break down a box, you're just used to that, right? Like, it's just like, we know we take the scissors out, you slice one side, slice the other. There's three sides you're opening and then your box is open. But when you actually think about the time, next time you go to open a box, like time yourself to see how long that takes and then breaking it down, it is actually like a lot of time compared to just like unzipping something, right? Or unsnapping and opening a flap. And so it's interesting when you think about this at scale versus just somebody at home, right? Like there's a lot of benefits to reusable packaging really outside of the sustainability piece too, which you started talking about with technology, robotics, all of that, and that we can get even deeper into. So I want you to talk a little bit about that. One of the biggest challenges when we talk to these stakeholders that you mentioned before is really around cost. So obviously, like we think about time, we think change is scary. Those are things that kind of come to mind, but those are very easy to show that there's really good benefits from switching to reusable packaging there, but cost is always something. Money is always going to be the center of these conversations. That's just how it is naturally at the moment. And eventually maybe we'll get out of that. But what do these kind of cost conversations look like? And how do we kind of mitigate some of those risks around what people think is going to be more costly when maybe long-term it might not even be more costly?
Yeah, I mean, I could look at it as twofold. You know, we kind of look at the manual and the automated, and the more manual is what you're coming to, which is more the just the efficiency of, you know, taking a box off a shelf, putting it together, taping it, putting objects in it. And then on the flip side is actually then taking those objects out and actually breaking it down and moving it. And while it seems like it could be, you know, 30 seconds more, 15 seconds more, all that time within a major supply chain, all that adds up. So any kind of decrease in a workflow of time always adds up, even in our time in the day to day. I say we internally spend a lot of time just to play a game we play of like really, you know, comparing what that's like to open up one of our packages and breaking down a package today. I'd say also just recycling costs continue to rise with the way back about four years ago when the SWORD policy was put into place. A lot of our recycling always went abroad, and now a lot of it has backed up because we haven't the full recycling system within the US. So with that, a lot of it is actually going to the landfill, costs can't be recouped. So with that, costs and resources will continue to deplete, and we will continue to see a rise in that cost. And there's also a cost for a lot of these retailers to recycle these packages similar to us. We pay for recycling to pick them up at our home. I think they get lumped into our utilities a lot of the times, and we forget that is a service we do pay for. And then, you know, really, we go back to that question we ask, and we ask ourselves a lot as we build our technology, which is, where is my package? You know, you misplacing and not knowing where your summer pajama pants are, those might not get to you till winter by now. But that happens at a mass level as well for a lot of these retailers as they're moving goods from a lot of their holding centers, like fulfillment centers, and moving those to the store, what we call replenishment, is actually a lot of those packages get lost. And those are highly valuable packages with, you know, somewhere from 50 to 100 of their kind of package or just with in those. And so being able to answer a lot of those questions also really be not only know where their package is at the right time, but be able to understand and recoup the cost of a lot of those lost inventory. There's a great quote you use all the time, which is 1 in 10 packages are misplaced. And that happens as we move goods from those warehouses to stores and goods just moving from door to door.
Yeah, the cost conversation definitely goes much more than like, hey, what is the cost of an actual reusable package or a reusable package? There's so much more included in that. And I think that's really easily, I guess, forgotten is not even the right word because we're not even really thinking about it yet. So it's easily like, it's just like not top of mind. And so it doesn't even kind of cross your path unless you know how to look for it.
Yeah. And then until we start running those numbers, and we run them a lot internally of like, what does that really equate to for some of these companies and larger companies, the amount of inventory that's lost? I mean, that can add up to hundreds of thousands of dollars each week. And then we run the numbers again. And we're like, are we sure that seems really high? And it is, it's just become how we deal with the industry in general.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, it can be very, very eye-opening looking at those numbers. Mm-hmm. It can be very eye-opening. I would love also if you could give, you've given us a lot of really good kind of insight into how Lime Loop was founded and what you've seen in this space. And let's say that somebody else was looking to start some kind of a company and they were starting kind of from scratch. And since you have experience in this, I'd love if you could just give some insight into what really needs to come to the table when you do start a company that is really, really focused on sustainability, but also we have other goals of making sure that we're cost effective and we're actually helping people in their day-to-day as well. What advice do you have for these brand new companies coming down?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, first, if you have the passion, you have the idea, and you really want to go for it, just take the risk. And then once you take that risk, I've said this before, but a lot, but like simplify and focus. And it seems so simple, but when you are starting something new in a new space, there are so many opportunities. So it's that constant look of like, how do you test and learn and reapply? But within that, continue to simplify and focus so you can really get to the core of what really makes that engine grow. But with that also comes to really listening to your customers, like what are their true true problems and then starting to boil that down. And that's where we continue to bring up, like at Line Loop, that simple question, where is my package? Simple things like that allow us to bring it back to, okay, that focus of what we're building from a technology suite all up levels back to where is my package? And then surround yourself by great people. I mean, it is incredible not only working with the Line Loop team, but also all those folks who have been with us through companies. And then also today to really be able to, you know, when you're having that 2 a.m. moment to say, what do you think? Or how do we navigate this? And that community can help you not only accelerate that risk you took, but allow you to simplify and focus.
Yeah, community is so important. So important. Something that I've noticed too over the last whatever amount of time that we've been chatting is that we've said the word sustainable and sustainability a couple times, but it hasn't really been like the forefront, right, of the stuff that you've been sharing and some of the responses you've said. And can you talk a little bit about like maybe why that's not necessarily at the forefront?
So being in business and sustainability and supply chain most of the career, what really thrives is when we get down to the core problem. And what we're solving to today is the double bottom line. But really what it comes down to is the value that you can contribute to an ecosystem. And what I dream not only of solving for single use within Line Loop is to also be on a mission to really show that sustainability, circularity is just how we do business. So that is a part of the value add and how we make a greater impact. Because if we can focus more on the value, that's where we will see that greater change. And then from that, it's the deeper root, which is that collaboration. To make a really large impact, we must collaborate to get to that larger impactful value.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. It's really easy, I think, for sustainability and those words to get kind of lost, right? They kind of go in someone's ear and then out the other. And really, like, yes, we have a huge mission to make sure that we can be change makers in for the environment, for the future, and for generations to come. But that really starts with what's happening now and how do we make an impact now? And so I think that's it's a really good reminder. Just for everyone listening to that sustainability, we want to get to a place where we are in a really circular world and to a circular economy. I was talking to somebody last week, 2 weeks ago, can't remember exactly when now, but where we were talking about how even generations ago, like we were completely a circular economy, right? Like we embody that. And it's like the last few years, we've just kind of strayed, not even the last few, the last 50 some years, right? We've just kind of strayed from that as we've reintroduced these new single use items. So it's like, how do we peel that back and really get back to those three R's you were talking about and get back to the reduce and reuse before we get down to the recycling? So I think that's a good reminder.
Yeah, it's a great example because then it looks at, okay, then if we've done that before, what did we learn from it? And then here we are today with this more advanced innovation and technology. So how can we take those learning, add those layers, and then allow the next generation to critique what we moved forward and move it forward even more?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything else then? This has been wonderful. Is there anything else that you really want to leave? You want to leave the audience with?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the whole theme, which we're talking about, like just keep contributing and collaborating, going back to those little goals that we even have set internally for the year. Those goals add up to a larger impact. So as simple as, saying I'm going to bring my reusable cup to the coffee shop or a straw that is reusable, all those really do add up and make a collective impact that bring awareness not only to just even your friends around you because they start asking questions, but also to then brands. Because the more we put that money behind what we want to see in the future, the greater impact we will have, and they will make decisions a lot faster. So just keep doing the little things.
Yeah. Leading by example, which is always the best. It's always the best way too. So that's great. Well, thank you so, so much for your time today, Ashley. I will make sure that links to Line Loop and such are in the show notes. If you want to really quickly just share where people can find you, that would be great.
Yeah, you can always find me on LinkedIn, reach out to us, always reach out to us on thelimeloop.com. That meeting link will be booked with me. And you can always follow us on a lot of our social media handles as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll make sure they're all in the show notes. Well, thank you so much. And well, you and I will talk sooner than soon, but we'll talk later.
Great. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Thanks for listening in to the Lime Loops Behind the Green podcast. If you want to listen to other episodes, visit anchor.fm/the Lime Loop, and we'll see you in your next time.